I don't see any walls being built in Russia so that people could not get into Russia. How many of y'all know that we're building walls because America is more than a country, it is an ideal. It represents freedom. It represents opportunity. You know, in America, if you work hard, you can be whatever you want to be. You will not lack opportunity. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I thought I would get better amens. And we are free. Right? We don't have to worry here that we're gathering in the name of Jesus, in honor of that beautiful name of Jesus, that we are here. Listen carefully, church family, to worship freely according to the dictates of our own conscience. And we can thank every man and woman who served our country, and for those who paid the ultimate price to ensure that we today would have freedoms to enjoy. Amen. This is probably going to be the most patriotic Mexican you ever hear speak. But listen, I love this country. And, you know, I was, last thing I'll say, I was once flying into, I want to say Peoria from somewhere, and was reading one of the American Airlines magazines, and they had a story there about some guys from Romania that were in Quincy, Illinois. They were beside themselves. They had waited years, listen, to get their citizenship as American citizens. And they said in that article, "This is the greatest day of my life." You know, I was a teenager when I had that opportunity and I seized upon it. Church family, let us remember that we walk on hallowed ground here in America. It is bloodstained ground. And we are deeply indebted for all the men, women, and children. When I say children, 19 years or 18 years. That have served our country. Thank you so much for serving. I say last thing, but one last thing. You know, Cindy and I were at Starbucks in El Paso, Texas, and there was a military gentleman that walked in, and I walked up to him and I said, "Sir, let me pay for your order." He said, "You don't have to do that." I said, "No, sir." I said, "I owe it to you, and I want to thank you for serving our country." He was in full dress. And he said, "Thank you." He said, "You made my day." And I said, "No, sir. All of you guys make our day every day."
Amen.
Amen. That'll preach, won't it? Amen. What an honor. What a privilege. All right. Are we ready for God's word this morning? Thank you for those two yeses. Let's just open our Bibles to Deuteronomy 7, please. Scott, I don't think they heard me to your Sunday school lesson, sir. Maybe they heard. They heard. They didn't listen. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 7. We've been on this extended series. I say extended because normally series last 2 or 3 weeks. But this is week 4 of a giant series that we began, obviously, 4 weeks ago. And we have said that even if there were physical giants that kept God's people from enjoying the land that God had given them, a land of abundance, a land of opportunity, a land of blessing, that there are today, maybe not physical giants, but that there are emotional giants, that there are personality giants. Who would agree with me that there are some people that have imposing personalities and demeanors, and they, if we're not careful, can keep us from enjoying all the blessings that God has for us in His kingdom. Amen. How many of y'all believe, first of all, that God's kingdom is full of blessings? I mean, the Christian life, you cannot improve on a better life than the Christian life. I mean, the author of life created it. So if we follow Him and obey His laws, how many of y'all know life's going to be good for you? Right? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, that it may go well with you." That is the first commandment with promise. And I see the promise. It's not a coincidence that it says that the reward for obeying that commandment is having a good life. You see, and I think that that applies to all of God's commandments. Some of y'all would agree with me that if we obey the Lord in all aspects of life, our life will only get better.
Amen.
So God promises us that life. But there are giants in the land that will try to seek us to keep us from enjoying all the blessings in that land. All right, have you found Deuteronomy 7? We're going to jump into that first verse, or verses 1 and 2. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. Notice, these are greater giants. They're mightier. Okay, God acknowledges that in verse 2. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. We're not supposed to do that anymore, how are we, church family? We're supposed to exercise the law of love. All right, but as I've been saying for the last several weeks, we can love people from a distance. Thank you. All right, and you shall make no covenant with them or be in a meaningful relationship with them or show them any mercy. Or in other words, you shall not tolerate them in your life. Now, we've said these are dispositions. These are personalities. And there are found in the giants' names their M.O., their disposition. For example, the Hittites. We looked at 4 weeks ago, the Hethites, actually, in the Hebrew, which means terror. These are intimidators. These are people that seek to intimidate and strike fear in your heart. Okay? How many of y'all have had those in your life? And we've looked at eight giants, eight different personalities up to this point. We've looked at six. We're going to look at number seven today, number seven and number eight, because there were two other giants, as we'll see here shortly. We're going to look at the Jebusites, all right? So are we ready to look at the Jebusites this morning? All right, so here we go. The definition for the Hebrew word Jebusite, it means to be downtrodden, to be downtrodden, to put down. You know any people like that in your life? People that are out to put you down? Who's discovered that for the most part, you know, I think I took enough psychology classes to be able to identify certain personalities. But I think for the most part, listen carefully, church family, the people that seek to put others down, when you pull the layers of their personality, you're going to find very insecure people deep down inside of them. Right? And in order for them to feel good about themselves, they're going to have to put you down. Who's found that out to be true? Isn't that sad? You know, church family, if someone has a winning season in their lives, we as God's people, we ought to be happy for them, and we ought to be doing this to them. Awesome. God bless you. Instead of feeling threatened by their success, or feeling threatened by their blessing, and us, something, I hate this aspect of human nature, but something within us rising that says, I'm not happy unless they're not happy. Can we pull the wraps off the devil? Is that okay, church family? Who's encountered people like that? They are Jebusites. They're not going to celebrate your successes. They feel threatened by your successes. They feel threatened by your blessings. Come on, somebody. And they're going to seek to put you down. You know, as I once heard a quote, that when another person succeeds, a little something in me dies. Isn't that an ugly part of human nature? It's sad, but it exists. Right? I remember when I was a young 24-year-old, how many of y'all know that I still look young for 55? You know, the good Lord provided. The good Lord provided facial treatments called PRP Regen, what the Kardashians used to look younger for me and my wife. So she's looking about 5 years younger. You know why? It's in the genetics, but it's under the skin too. Some of you are saying, you're so vain. Well, don't be threatened by my vanity. That was supposed to be a joke, people. I got to cue you. When I was a young 24-year-old assistant pastor, you know, the guy who hired me, great guy, very secure. He was he trusted me to do my job. He was not a micromanager. He just did his own thing. He was so busy with ministry. And then he up and left a couple months after we had moved from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Farmington, New Mexico. And then he brought in a guy that seemed like a nice pastor to replace him. But the guy was very, very insecure. And then this new pastor, this younger pastor, insecure pastor, would ask me to preach. And then I would preach, you know. And then the following week after I preached, you know what his sermon was? His sermon was all about putting down what I had preached the week before. And then he would continue to ask me to preach. And then I would finally sit out with him and talk to him. I said, look, we need to talk about what you want me to preach on. Because it seems obvious to me that you're not liking what I'm preaching on. Talk to me. Oh, no, I trust you. You'll do a good job. So I get up and preach. Next week after that, we're going to preach again. What a waste of time to preach against what your young assistant pastor preached on, and he comes to you in good faith asking you what you want to preach on, and then you, because you feel threatened by him, this is the main point of contention. And he even told me, he said, the people like you being animated, Joe, because he was more reserved as a speaker. And I thought, of all the things to feel insecure about, man, brother, you need a therapist. You know, there are some good Christian therapists out there. You know, my friends, I love the day when the Lord called us out of that situation. I was rejoicing. I was doing backflips inside, on the inside. And you know, it was no coincidence that 6 months later, his church split. If you're not secure as a person, you're going to put other people down. You're going to trot them down. Okay? Listen, do not be in a meaningful relationship with that kind of person. Do not be in covenant with them. Do not tolerate their shenanigans. Show them no mercy. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Right? Okay, so we're going to shift from that because that's an obvious manifestation of this giant. But let me say here, did you know that that giant also exists in some of us? Inside some of us? How does that, Pastor Joe? I'm not insecure. No, listen. The very nature of this Jebusite giant is that it puts you down. Who's ever suffered from depression? Don't you think depression tries to put you down? You know what I found? That those of us, because I'm a type A personality, I'm driven, I'm a go-getter, I'm a, you know. But some of us who are type A are more prone to depression than others. Because we're burning it at both ends, so to speak. And so we have that tendency in us. Some other people, it's been known as a fact, people with a much higher IQ are more susceptible to depression. Look at Robin Williams. Wasn't he brilliant? Look at all they call it the Club 27. Are you a rocker, Miss Jennifer? The 27 Club, all the young 27-year-olds that took their lives at a young age. Amy Winehouse, Kurt Cobain, right? Mike, did I get it right, Terry? Sometimes, listen, depression runs in family lines. Sometimes it's, listen carefully, church, I'm going to open my heart to you. And let me say here, if you're a believer and you suffer from depression, it's not your fault. Sometimes, as is the case in my family line, I have a shortage of that serotonin chemical that I need drugs to compensate for the lack thereof. Because in my family line, Dad suffered from unbelievable bouts of depression. A lot of his brothers suffered with mental illness. Listen, some of you are thinking, oh, okay, well, that answers a lot of questions here, Pastor Joe. Thank you very much. Okay, Lord, I've been praying about this guy. this crazy banty rooster. But listen to me, church family. You should get help. I find a lot of people are so stubborn. Why are you against God-given medication? It's there. Why suffer? Okay? Listen, and there's an answer for that. I will say this. Listen, if we are depressed or have a tendency to be depressed, how many of y'all have found that negative people are always depressed? I don't need that in my life. You know, if I have that tendency in my life, my negativity will only add to that depression. It will not help that depression. Amen. You've never seen a negative person, negative consistently, that is full of joy, have you? No. I had a good friend of mine. He was a high school football coach when we were in Kansas. And he was so negative all the time. And I remember there for a season, I was working at the high school. The church board had approved that to try to reach some of the kids and stuff. And this is the way he would call work. He said, I've got to go down to the gates of hell every day. That was his perspective about working at the high school. I was overjoyed because I saw it as an opportunity to reach young people. But his negativity would not allow him to see the good side of his job. He called it the gates of hell. Oh, gosh. Well, is it a wonder that half the time you're dealing with depression? Can we move on? Is this good? Good application for the Jebusites? All right, let's go to, we're going to look at a scripture in Numbers chapter 13. Verse 28, out of the King James Version, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Stop there. We saw the children of Anak. That is another race of giants. That is the race of the Anakites, or to use the Hebrew word, the Anakim. Anakim, the Anakites. You know what these suckers represent? These are the only giants that you'll find in a lot of churches. Pastor Joe, tell us. Or like the disciples when Jesus was dipping his bread in the wine, you know, and he said, one of you will betray me. Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Listen, the name Anakites means this, chains around the neck. Chains around the neck. Who's ever told a fellow church person, you're a pain around my neck? Or other anatomical places. A chain around the neck. You know what I have found, church family? You know what the Bible, the New Testament specifically calls chain around the neck? Well, let's just look at it. Acts chapter 15, verse 10. Yeah, there you go. Now then, why do you try to test? This is... I think it's Peter Peter or Paul telling the legalist in Jerusalem, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? Notice what this guy's saying. He's saying, we the Jews were not able to carry the burden of trying to obey the law in and of ourselves. Why are we imposing that chain, putting that chain around the neck of the non-Jews, the Gentiles. It didn't work for the Jews. Can I just reference it? Nobody get mad. Romans chapter 3 verse 20 says, Paul the Apostle wrote, by the observing of the law shall no one be saved in the eyes of God. You know, people could be saved by sheer obedience to the commandment. Then why did Jesus die? He died in vain. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Right? So listen, it is the chain, listen carefully, of legalism. The Anakites are all about the letter of the law. They're not about the spirit of the law. Let me define that. The letter of the law is just strict obedience. It's outward performance and your heart not be in it. You know, when I do things for my wife, I do things because I love her. My heart is always in it. But the times that I'm a little mad at her, I'll just, fine. I'll sweep the floor. And every time I'm sweeping it, I missed a spot. Okay, no big deal. It's legalism. I remember one time, how many of y'all know we Christians can become very legalistic when it suits us in a hurry? Let me illustrate that point. How many of you like the illustration? Make it, it fleshes it out, make it real. Listen, when I was in college, sometimes I was in conversation with a gal, and she said she would get a phone call from a guy that she didn't like, but this guy was interested in her. So her roommate would answer the phone, because this guy was bugging her with phone calls. The roommate would answer the phone, and she would kind of hint at the gal that the phone call was for. The roommate would hint at the gal that the phone call was for. She's like, you know, like, it's this guy again. And then she said that the gal that the phone call was for, she would get up off the floor and on the bed, and so that the roommate can say, oh, she's not on the floor. Technically, her feet were not on the floor. Do you see how dumb it is? But how many of y'all know that some of us will resort to that? It's kind of like you know, the one Sunday school teacher asked the children, the children's class, what is a lie? One kid raised his hand and he said, it is an abomination to God and a very present help in trouble. Yoo-hoo! See how we can be that? How many of y'all would say, there's an Anakite, I can raise both hands, there's an Anakite that lives inside of me. And we got to watch that. But listen, how many of y'all have encountered Anakites outside in the personalities and dispositions of other people? Who has encountered people that try to put chains around your neck, because that's what Anakite means, chains around your neck that they themselves were not willing to carry? Amen. And I'm telling you how sometimes this manifests itself. Listen carefully, church family. This is why I'm saying this giant is alive and well in all kinds of churches, and it is no respecter of denominations. There are many Anakites in the Pentecostal churches, in the Charismatic churches, in the Southern Baptist churches, in the Methodist church, in the Lutheran church, in the Presbyterian. Do I need to go on? Can I get some amens in the process? Isn't this good teaching? Thank you. And listen carefully, and they'll try to put burdens on you that they themselves will not carry. You know, I remember one time in a community, I had a friend of mine that was so legalistic. And you know what bothered me about that is often he became the armchair quarterback. How many of y'all know what an armchair quarterback is? The critic that all he does is criticize those who take action, but he himself will not take action with him. And I remember one time when school was about to start, and some of the community leaders, pastors and other community leaders decided to do a prayer walk around the actual facility of the high school in this small town. And we were there praying. We were there about an hour, and we prayed around, you know, prayed for the teachers, for the upcoming school year, for the safety of the kids, everybody. And I remember when we were done, you know, that guy, I saw him that following week, and he started putting us down because we didn't do it the right way, the way he should have done it. You know what? I looked at him and I said, buddy, I didn't see you there. You know what? There's a great Greek word for that. Take a hike. You know, as an athlete, this is one of my most favorite quotes. Unless you're in the arena getting your butt kicked alongside with me, I'm not interested in your opinions. Amen. You don't need the Greek language for that, do you, Brother John Bob? You know, it's just unbelievable. But that's what these Anakites will do. They'll put huge chains. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. We're going to read a couple of verses here. Let's begin reading with verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do." Oh. They tell you the path to take in, but do they themselves take that path? No. Next verse, verse 4. For they bind what kind of burdens? Heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on others' shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Who knows of Anakites? How many of y'all know, church family, that we all lead by example? We don't lead by words. Listen, be on your guard against these giants, because they will lay heavy chains around your neck. And they'll want to, listen carefully, you know what the whole system around legalism is? It's called control and manipulation. No, I don't need your control. I am free in Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand fast in the freedom wherewith Christ has made me free. Illustration. I remember when I was younger and all my hair was black. There was a time, people. But I think we men get more distinguished with age. Anyway, let's move on. And what's that? That's right. We certainly do, don't we, Vince? And we earn every one of those. And I had grown a goatee. Well, because of the complexion of my skin, all the church ladies lost it. The guys kind of liked it. They're like, "Shave it. Shave it. You look like a Mexican gangster. Shave it." Another aspect is the Anakites will major on minors and minor on majors. It's all about, they'll get all worked up about little details that don't matter anything. But yet when it comes to the big details, in closing, one church that I served, there was a guy, he was like the chairman of the council of that church. Never mind that the church was growing. Never mind that we had built an entire addition to the building of that church and paid cash for it. They were concerned they didn't have enough money. They paid cash for it and had all kinds of money tied up in the bank. And yet he would come and bend my ear every time he heard a little criticism about me. Little things. You know what, buddy? How many of y'all know that that kind of leadership negatively affects the morale of the staff. But he didn't know that. All right, how many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the word this morning? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this time together. Father, help us to deal with these giants, not to be in meaningful relationship with these people. Father, not to tolerate these shenanigans, to show them no mercy. We pray for your grace. We pray for your strength, Lord God. Thank you for this in your precious name. Amen. Have a very blessed day, and let's remember today that we have the freedoms that we have because of men and women who did not consider their lives too great a sacrifice to give them up for us. I love you. God bless you. Have a very blessed Sunday.